Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. Our subject this week is the midterm election results.
Elections are often about local issues, but two national issues drove the Democrats' return to power in Congress for President Bush's last 2 years in office. Voters said they were heavily influenced by the war in Iraq and by wrongdoing in Congress. The day after the elections, last Tuesday, the president said it was time for new leadership at the Pentagon, the Defense Department headquarters. Mr. Bush announced the resignation of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Mr. Rumsfeld has served as Defense Secretary since Mr. Bush came into office in 2001. Mr. Bush said he recognized that many Americans voted to signal their displeasure with the lack of progress being made in Iraq. The president has nominated Robert Gates to become the new defense secretary. The position requires Senate confirmation. Mr. Gates directed the Central Intelligence Agency during the presidency of Mr. Bush's father, George H.W. Bush. Mr. Gates is currently president of Texas A&M University.
The Democrats' victory marks the first time their party will control the House of Representatives since 1994. Republicans have also controlled the Senate for most of that time, but that too will change. Democrats look set to control the narrowest of majorities in the Senate, 51-49.
And that majority will include the last two states decided. Both had very close races. In Montana, Republican Senator Conrad Burns lost to John Tester, an organic farmer who was president of the state Senate. And in Virginia, it was Democrat Jim Webb over Republican Senator George Allen.
Mr. Webb is an honored Vietnam War veteran and former Republican who served as Secretary of the Navy under President Ronald Reagan. He is also a best-selling author of novels. This was his first attempt at elected office. His opposition to the war in Iraq was an important part of his campaign.
A few months ago, Mr. Allen was considered a strong candidate for re-election in a state where he formerly served as governor. But then he made some damaging statements that cost him his lead. On Thursday, 2 days after the election, George Allen accepted defeat. Now he will have to think about his chances as a possible candidate for the Republican presidential nomination in 2 years. In Tennessee, Democrat Harold Ford, Jr., a congressman, lost a close Senate race to Republican Bob Corker, a former mayor of Chattanooga. Mr. Ford would have been the first black senator from the South since the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. In New York State, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton won a second term easily over her Republican opponent, John Spencer. The wife of former President Bill Clinton is seen as a leading choice for the Democratic nomination for president in 2008. Republican senators who kept their offices include Olympia Snowe in Maine and Richard Lugar of Indiana. Craig Thomas was re-elected in Wyoming, and Texas voters re-elected Kay Bailey Hutchison to her Senate seat. If the Senate is ever divided 50-50 on a vote, then the deciding vote goes to the Vice President of the United States. Under the Constitution, the Vice President acts as President of the Senate.
The newly elected Congress opens in January. Representative Nancy Pelosi of California is to become the next Speaker of the House. She will be the first woman in American history to hold the powerful position, and the first Italian-American speaker. The current speaker is Dennis Hastert of Illinois. Nancy Pelosi represents a district in San Francisco. She comes from a political family. Her father served as mayor of Baltimore, Maryland. President Bush and Representative Pelosi have promised to work with each other. He invited her to have lunch at the White House last Thursday. But Mrs. Pelosi has called Mr. Bush things like dangerous and incompetent. Many conservatives see her as too liberal for the good of the country. But Nancy Pelosi says Americans made their voices heard in the election. She says Americans want a new direction, most clearly in Iraq. But she says the Democrats will also work for a more honest and open Congress, and for other issues important to Americans. She says the Democrats will move quickly to pass a number of measures in the first 100 hours of the new Congress.
There is no single Democratic Party plan for what to do about Iraq. But one thing most Democrats could agree on was their criticism of Donald Rumsfeld. Critics say he failed to provide enough troops and to take other steps that might have avoided the current situation in Iraq.
Americans also voted in state and local elections. A majority of states will have Democratic governors for the first time in 12 years. 28 states will have Democratic governors, the same number as now have Republican leaders. Among the new governors will be Deval Patrick of Massachusetts. Mr. Patrick will be the second black governor elected in the United States in more than a century. Democrats also made gains in state legislatures.
One bright spot for the Republicans was
an international agreement on the importance of refugees. The 1951 Convention on the Status of Refugees defined the legal rights of refugees. The agreement also established international rules for the treatment of refugees. 139 countries have signed the convention or a similar agreement negotiated in 1967. For World Refugee Day, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan praised the bravery of past and present refugees. He said refugees are the greatest survivors of our time because they survive even after losing everything but hope. The UN headquarters observed World Refugee Day with a ceremony at the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. Events were also held at nearby Ellis Island. This is where millions of people from other countries arrived in the United States during the first part of the 20th century. Jeff Drumta is a policy expert with the United States Committee for Refugees. He says the UN Refugee Agency is facing the worst financial crisis in its history. He says the budget for the UN agency has had a deficit of more than $100 million in each of the past 2 years. Mr. Drumpta says the deficit is largely because of reductions in money given by European countries. Refugee camps have been most severely affected by the lack of money. Mr. Drumpta says food and medical supplies have been reduced and living conditions have worsened. Another concern is the safety of people living in refugee camps. Bill Frelick is the policy director for the United States Committee for Refugees. He says rebels or militias often attack people seeking safety in refugee camps. For example, Mr. Frelick says about 2 million refugees fled from areas of war in Africa last year. Later, they experienced violence in refugee camps. He says the same 9 years, nearly 200 UN aid workers have been killed. This VOA Special English Development Report was written by Jill Moss. This is Bill White.
It is called the Mother Road, the main street of America. It extends from Chicago, Illinois, to Los Angeles, California. This year, it celebrates its 75th anniversary. I'm Sarah Long.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. The story of Route 66 is our report today on the VOA Special English Program, This is America.
The idea for Route 66 started in the state of Oklahoma. Citizens wanted to link their state with states to the east and west. By the 1920s, federal officials wanted to connect state roads to provide a shorter, faster way across the country. So a plan was developed to connect existing state roads into one long national road. United States Highway 66 opened in 1926. It was one of America's first national road systems. It crossed 8 American states. It was 3,800 kilometers long. People soon began calling Route 66 the Main Street of America. Route 66 became the most famous road in America. The road extended through the centers of many American cities and towns. It crossed deserts, mountains, valleys, and rivers.
In the 1930s, Americans suffered through the Great Depression. Many poor farm families in the state of Oklahoma lost their farms because of severe dry weather. So they traveled west to California on Route 66 in search of a better life. In 1939, American writer John Steinbeck wrote a book called The Grapes of Wrath about these people.
In the book, John Steinbeck wrote, 66, the long concrete path across the country, waving gently up and down on the map, over the red lands and the gray lands, twisting up into the mountains, crossing the divide, and down into the bright and terrible desert, and across the desert to the mountains again, and into the rich California valleys. Steinbeck wrote, 66 is the path of a people in flight, refugees from dust and shrinking land. 66 is the mother road, the road of flight.
In 1946, an American songwriter and his wife drove across the country to Los Angeles. Bobby Troup wrote a song about his trip on Route 66. He wrote that people could have fun traveling on the road. The song said people could get their kicks on Route 66. When he arrived in Los Angeles, Bobby Troup took the song to Nat King Cole. Cole recorded the song. It became a huge hit. Here is Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie Cole, singing Route 66.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago.
In the 1950s, many American families began to explore the western part of the country during their holidays. They enjoyed traveling on Route 66. In the 1960s, Americans watched a popular television show called Route 66. It was about two young men driving across the country. Route 66 represented the spirit of movement and excitement. The television show was filmed in cities and towns across America. Yet only a few shows were filmed on the real Route 66.
Also in the 1960s, the federal government began building huge road systems through a number of states. Cars and trucks could travel at very high speeds. People started driving on these new interstate highways instead of on Route 66. In 1962, parts of Route 66 were closed because they were in bad condition. Then in 1985, Route 66 was officially removed from the national highway system. During the past few years, however, people living near the old Route 66 have formed organizations. They have succeeded in saving parts of the road. They also are saving hundreds of eating places, places to stay, and interesting places to visit along the way.
Michael Wallace is one of America's top experts on Route 66. He wrote a book called Route 66, The Mother Road. Mr. Wallace has lived in 7 of the 8 states that Route 66 crosses. He and his wife Suzanne have led groups of visitors on 2-week bus trips on Route 66. Mr. Wallace says there has been a huge increase in interest in Route 66 from Americans and people around the world.
Now it is our turn to take a trip on Route 66. We will have to search for it at times. Many parts of it have new names or numbers. Some parts of it are included in other interstate highways. Our trip begins in the middle western city of Chicago, Illinois. Chicago is America's third largest city. It has almost 3 million people. From Chicago, the road goes southwest through many small towns in Illinois. One of them is Springfield, the home of America's 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. Now we drive through St. Louis, Missouri, a city of more than 300,000 people. St. Louis is called the Gateway to the West. Missouri has many natural wonders. One of the most famous on Route 66 is Merrimack Caverns in Stanton.
The next part of our drive takes us for a very short time through the state of Kansas. Then we enter the state of Oklahoma. Michael Wallace says Oklahoma remains the heart and soul of Route 66. That is because there are more kilometers of road in Oklahoma than in any other state. In Claremore, Oklahoma, a statue honors a famous American, Will Rogers. Rogers was born in Claremore. He became the most popular actor in Hollywood in the 1930s. We passed through many historic towns in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma City, we can visit the National Cowboy Hall of Fame and Western Heritage Center. And in Clinton, we can see the Route 66 Museum. It is the first official museum that tells the complete history of the road and its importance to